I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Friday to the 6 a.m. Club. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt already with a mysterious smirk on your face.
Told you to have that ready, Peyton. I did.
I was already previewing and teasing it up. I had it ready to go.
I went in there to get headphones. When I walked in there, I was like, you better have Inside the Star ready to go, Peyton. And he's like, I'm only going to play it if you tell me to, not Sean. And I was like, okay, you better have it ready.
That's made up. I did not.
And then as soon as I came in here, you would have it ready. And so I'm like, good, told you.
First off, you make it sound like I'm like screaming at him. I'm like.
No, I was screaming at him. I was like, you better have this S ready.
You know, I'm probably, I don't know. This is a good producer question. I would think that I am the probably not. I was going to say I'm the host that producers would like to work with the most in this building. Because
That's a big no. What is that?
I changed my mind to no, but my initial thought was.
You're the most organized.
My initial thought was I try to play, like Troy would, it would drive Troy nuts. When he'd put things on the cut sheet and they wouldn't be played, right? Because he's wasting his time.
Right.
So I try to play every single thing that Peyton takes the time to do. But then I was like, we probably asked for more than anybody. So I'd take that back. I thought you would feel appreciated that I play all the stuff that you pull, but yeah, probably the most
demanding. You can't worry about not playing everything. There's called a cutting room floor for a reason.
Sometimes you have breaking news, you know.
You never know. You can't be worried about that. You're the most organized host.
Yeah.
By a mile. You are also the one that will scold more than anyone. Ask Chiafalo. Yeah, that's where it would come in that they don't want to work with you.
Yeah.
Well, just be good at your job, and you don't have to get scolded.
Exactly.
Oh, look at you, Rory McIlroy.
Be more memorable.
Just be
step
better.
It up. That's be right. Better.
That's be better.
Exactly
Grayson.
What it is.
You well, know what was memorable out there practice.
Well, first off, they looked a little bit. I felt bad afterwards because I walked in and I saw they were in t-shirts, and I leaned over to one of the reporters and I was like, what in the company softball hell are they wearing today? They're like, well, they're Allen Strong shirts. And oh, okay. Well, I just saw t-shirts and I thought they were just wearing like t-shirts. I didn't realize what they were, but they were out there yesterday in Allen Strong t-shirts. And there's a link if you go to DallasCowboys.com or any of the other outlets that wrote about the story, you can find where to buy these t-shirts that they were wearing yesterday. It's an Allen company, and all the proceeds are going to the families who were victims of the Allen shooting. And so that's what they were out there doing yesterday. A very light, joggy type of walkthrough. But we did get a chance to talk to the assistant coaches, which is always good because, you know, Dan Quinn's always a good quote, and Brian Schottenheimer is going to be somebody that we were going to have interest in talking to because of how open Dak and Mike McCarthy were this week about the offense. And so that's exactly what we got. We got a chance to talk to him.
And Brian Schottenheimer seems to have a good personality.
Yeah, he was. I liked him. He's somebody who this is twice now that we've gotten a chance to talk to him. And he's very personable.
What's better, his play calling or his personality?
I guess we'll find out.
Or his offense. I know play call. His offensive.
Well, I mean, we'll
process.
Find out about the play calling in week six when McCarthy gets it taken away from him. So.
Well, shut up. I think his personality is probably more interesting than his play calling based upon history.
Yes. History shows that Brian Schottenheimer is basically a part of the run, pass, punt.
P The Pete Carroll Marty School, Marty Schottenheimer
Marty
School.
Ball.
Marty Ball.
You know, let Russ cook.
Unless it's first and goal with 20 seconds left in the Super Bowl, then it's pass on first down.
Man, there's still people who will fight that to the death that was the right call. Michael Lombardi is one of them. I can't remember whether you were on that side as well, but there are people who just defended that to the death, that throwing was still the right decision based upon the way that New England lined up.
If I remember right,
never convince me.
I think Manning said the same thing. He's like, if I was quarterbacking and I saw that look, I would have thrown it as well.
Did Brady say the same thing? Because Brady's the one we should ask if we're talking about Super Bowls, Chop.
Well, I
like
know.
This. I came in this morning and I was like, I want to pick some fights today. It's a Friday. Let's loosen up. Let's just go at each other. You know, we've been way too nice lately. Let's just have some battles.
If you want to ask Brady about Super Bowls, just go to Vinatieri and ask him.
Oh,
or Ty Law or Vrabel or Brewski or Bill.
Marcus, was it Butler?
Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm Butler,
yeah.
Yeah, I you run the ball. I mean, it's the easy thing. It's easy to say run the ball. But look, I mean, if they're going to give you the right look, was it the right look or not? I don't know. If it was, then how? I can't kill it. I don't know whose fault it was.
Brian Schottenheimer on what the Texas Coast offense will look like.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about this a little bit before. You know, the number one thing is I said it, and I do believe it. It wasn't broke. I mean, what they've done here over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years has been really good since Dak came in the league. We wanted to keep a lot of that in place. It's what our players know. We're a veteran, strong offense that's added some really cool pieces. We were very selective about the changes that we made. We tried to protect some of the language. The things that Dak has used for a long time, but we certainly added some wrinkles. And so, not to put a number on it, but we're somewhere in that, you know, keep 70%-ish, you know. We've certainly added some flavor, but I think the things that we've put in that were new, not only Dak, but Zach and Tyron and those guys, TP, they all like some of the adjustments and things that we've made. So it really has been a very collaborative thing where a lot of good give and take of the stuff that's been in place, stuff that Mike's done, stuff that I've done. In Seattle, and again, it's nice to kind of get through this off season, and then we'll go to training camp, tweak some things, and then start getting ready for games.
All I can see now is what you said yesterday, the headline, Texas Toast.
That's it.
Cowboys offensive changes.
You got
to
change
the proved name. Proved to be a failure.
They've got to change the name.
It's there now. It's stuck.
It's stuck. They should have said it's the Third Coast offense. That now it's going to be the first game is going to be Texas Toast, man.
Bobby said the Galveston offense.
You'll start getting comparisons to, like, Galveston water and stuff, I think, probably.
How about the Midwest Coast? That would have worked.
Nah, because we're not Midwest. We're the South.
They would emphasize mid, like the kids do.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Okay, since we're all just really hyper-focused on this, it's probably irritating Dak Prescott, Brian Schottenheimer. Did you do the full review, the full breakdown of every throw that he made and what caused all those turnovers?
He certainly doesn't need to be fixed. There's no question about that. I mean, guy's a great player. You guys know that. You guys have watched him more than I have. But he's a competitor, right? I mean, he's going to go out there and he's going to compete. And he's going to, you know, I can make that throw. And so he's just got to understand situations of the game and down and distance and all that stuff and clean up some of the decisions that, you know, that he knows last year he kind of missed. But I love one of my early experiences as a coordinator was with the Jets, and it was 2008, and I was coaching Brett Favre. And so you guys have seen Brett play. He would force a ball into trap. There'd be like three guys there waiting for it. One of the three was going to catch it. And he'd come over. I'd be like, dude, like, what are you doing? He's like, yeah, hey, my bad. I'd be like, all right, we're good. And move on. And I'd get up to leave, and he'd go, hey, Shotty, I can make that throw, though. I can make that throw. I was like, dude, that's not the point. Yeah, you can. You can make that throw sometimes. So it's a little bit of that competitive spirit. These guys, they all have that. And, again, Dak loves some of the things that we're doing, from training the footwork and timing and some of the rhythm things, tying the routes to his feet. So we expect him to have a huge year.
Man, is that Brian Schottenheimer or Brian Broaddus comparing Dak Prescott to Brett Favre?
Yeah, there's a couple different things that I think are interesting. Both answers, he's insisting, like, hey, Dak loves the changes, you guys. Everybody loves the changes. Yeah, what's he going to say? Is he going to be like, yeah, look, this has kind of been like pulling teeth. Everybody's kind of resisted, but ultimately we're finally running the offense that we've wanted to run. He's not going to say that, but
that's like everybody Jay Monahan saying, you know, everybody the PJ Tour, they love the change that we just made.
Yeah.
They love the new format. We're flying high.
Exactly. Look, there's
And I'll personally kill them if they don't. Exactly. Jimmy Dunn.
There's growing pains that will be involved with this, I'm sure, and stuff that they're not big fans of. But in general, I find it interesting that, again, you get the Brett Favre comparison there. Where
talk about the broadest Brett Favre
thing. So Brian has talked about it was in Brett Favre's DNA to just take the risks and take the opportunity to, force the ball in there occasionally. Just basically what Brian Schottenheimer said there. And that he thinks that that exists with Dak as well. Last year there were some times where I think it looked like risk where it was more a lazy route or something was miscommunicated or something was read differently. I don't know that it was he was trying to fit it in between three people.
I thought the knock on Dak has been, if anything, too conservative. The insult has been, bus driver early on in his career. That doesn't line up with Brett Favre. I think Broadus's analogy of Barry Sanders to Bijan Robinson is closer, actually, and that's insane, by the way, but that's actually closer than his thought of Dak to Brett Favre.
Who did everybody compare Dak to for the first couple of years? Remember they used to say he was Alex Smith.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go from he is Alex Smith to Brett Favre?
Have you asked him that?
It's a bad running joke, Bob.
Love of the Star podcast?
Yeah, I think he says it's just an evolution. That he believes he's evolved into this. Not that he's necessarily been this guy his whole career. That he thinks this is just naturally what he's evolved into. And look, Kitna used to give him the coaching point, and that was when he did sort of change up his style a little bit. But Kitna used to give him the coaching point of, if you see it, trust it, throw it. Like, if you see the coverage you want, and we've called something for that coverage, throw it. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Throw the ball. And he started taking those sorts of shots, and it was effective. And you started seeing bigger chunk plays. I just think that it's fascinating. And this is probably where Dak gets a little frustrated when we hear the answer a couple weeks ago about, yeah, I don't know that Mike totally represented that the best way, is that when these interceptions come up and they felt like they had a pretty good handle on why a lot of them had happened, is that then you hear things like McCarthy going, well, we had to go over every single one of them and identify what the problem was. And then you hear Brian Schottenheimer say, look, Dak's just got to know. He's got to understand that. That sounds a little bit like taking him by the hand and like, look, he's just got to know better. And I think that's probably what becomes frustrating to Dak.
Let's go around the rest of the NFL. Choppy, you thought it was a waste of time, and the Carolina Panthers finally agreed. Bryce Young has been elevated to number one on the depth chart. People think Dalvin Cook is going to the Miami Dolphins because he showed an Instagram story of celebrating in Miami as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Frank Clark goes from Kansas City to the Denver Broncos. Those are the other NFL stories.
Yeah, and the Bryce Young thing, it's like, so wait a second. To start OTAs, he was third of the depth chart, and in 3 weeks, he's number one? Okay. I'm sure he was just...
A lot of hitting, a lot of pounding.
Yeah, I'm sure all those padded practices they had in the OTAs
took a pound in
just really set him apart. They did this stupid, we want to keep him great. Now, look, I get it. Training camp, you want to keep the logos off the helmets or whatever for the rookies. I don't have a problem with that. That's just kind of, that's traditional football.
It's lame, but,
Whatever. But the want to keep him grounded, we're going to keep him third of the depth chart and then make him suffer for a whole 2.5 weeks. And he is not going to get an ego in those 2 weeks, my friend. And he's number one now. Bryce Young, number one on the depth chart. I'm sure they showed him.
Maybe they were suffering watching Andy Dalton play. Because we all did. And that it's possible that they looked at it and said, this is brutal even in a practice, and we need to change this up. Because he's just not very good. And, look, Bryce Young, I agree with Chopin that it's a little silly where it's like, hey, you got to go out there and earn the star, like that whole mantra that exists. It's a little silly because Bryce Young's clearly the best option. Bryce Young is very pro-ready. He can step out there and lead that team. We all knew he'd be starting week one, so it is a little bit like, why don't you just let him get in the work with the guys he's going to be playing with? Why are you doing this?
And then Joe Burrow making Choppy sick in the cage in Cincinnati, going yard four times. I saw Jason Robertson do this the other day. Jason Robertson does not look like an athlete whatsoever.
No, he doesn't.
Whenever I see him, I'm like,
he didn't play like one either in that guy.
He was good in
the series they lost, yeah.
He was.
No stars, baby.
I was like, man, Jason Robertson, he is not an athlete. And there's Joe Burrow in the cage.
Yeah, Robertson looked like he looked like 50 Cent out there throwing, but then he gets in the batting cage and he pops one about 380 in the right center.
Joe Longoria probably threw out a better first pitch. Man, she looked good the other night.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
You were an idiot, Tony Parker.
So Burrow.
Yeah, I'm sure he's struggling.
I'll take a little sip.
Wow. He's been sitting on that drop.
Yeah, he was.
He's been sitting and waiting on that drop.
You learned how to use the instant replay, didn't you? I like that. So Joe Burrow took BP with the Reds. Boy, the Reds are the talk of baseball right now. And he had four home runs, four out. And I'm thinking to myself, professional athletes, man, sometimes I hate y'all. Because now sometimes you go out and make us look good by throwing like 50 Cent. But other times, no matter what sport it is, you dominate at it. And it's frustrating. It's like, you already get all the women. Can you not also soak up all the athletic ability, too?
Especially Zion.
He gets more than all the women.
Yeah.
He's got a type, doesn't he? Good gosh. but they get all the women. They got all the athletic ability. They got all the money. Y'all are Haagen-Dazs and everything out there.
Can we just talk about what the hell's going on with his hair, though? And the sweatband.
Oh, he's got the Rambo headband.
Yeah.
That looks very 1992.
That's what's out there, though.
You are a hater.
I am.
You're a hater. I already proved you wrong about Burrow, and you're just searching and looking for any way to try to tear this man down. He looks good. He looks cool. What else is he supposed to do with his hair? Put a little, better than that little shoestring that they put up there as a headband.
Oh, yeah.
That's a legit headband. Lay off the guy.
That just looks ridiculous. That looks like 1992, like, beach bum hair.
Let's get you ready for the Rangers and the Rays today. 5 o'clock coverage right here on The Fan. 5:40 first pitch during the G-Bag Nation. How did the Rangers get here? RJ says you better give John Daniels his props. Next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Roberto here on your home for Rangers baseball. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And today, the coverage begins at 5 o'clock with first pitch at 5:40 between the two best teams in the sport, Rangers, Rays, Andrew Heaney again. Oh, my guy, Tyler Glasnow, my favorite player in baseball. You just going to keep doing that till I acknowledge what you're doing?
No, the fan cam already acknowledged it.
What was it?
Just a little dance. I was just, you know, getting into the moment.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, Peyton played a good little song, and I was just getting to it.
Did you dance a lot during that wedding you went to in Deep Ellum?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. You know, we got the dance. They had a good band. You know, cut the rug a little bit. Good stuff.
I wore shorts to practice the other day.
I thought you were going to say to your brother's wedding.
I wore shorts and a hoodie, and somebody came up to me from the beat and was like, is this what you wore to the wedding the other day?
Man.
So.
You're getting us a lot of Cowboys attention out there carries. In Frisco.
You wore a hoodie. It was 100 degrees outside.
No, I know. The joke was I was clearly super dressed down at practice.
All right, so Rangers, Rays.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Rangers get here? You guys did a deep dive study, and a lot of signs are pointing towards the hated one, John Daniels.
Yeah, so, you know, he has obviously...
hated by others, not by me, John.
Correct. Hated by others, not by us. But, you know, he caught a lot of the grief for the last 6 years. And look, I mean, he put the team together.
Much of it deserved.
Much of it was deserved. They sucked. He sold the farm to continue the run. You know, they had that run starting in about 2009 where they got good. 2010 where they went to the World Series, 2011. And they continued it all the way to about 2016. They were very, very good. The later part, they were not necessarily title contenders. They should have beat Toronto when they blew the lead in 2015. They didn't. But 2014, whatever year it was. You know, he sold out to continue that run. And it killed him. And it cost him his job, ultimately. But I want to see how this team was actually built. Okay? How the Rangers, the current Rangers, the 2023 Rangers were built. Now, Chris Young was named GM in December of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's middle of COVID. December 4th was the date. John Daniels was his boss. He was president of baseball operations. He had to sign off on every move. 2 days later, all right, well, first off, let's go back to here. JD was let go on August 17th of 2022, so last year. So from December of 2020 till August 17th of 22 last year, he was essentially in charge, the boss of Chris Young. In 2019, before Young gets there, they trade cash considerations to St. Louis for Adolis Garcia.
Good trade.
Got it for cash. They also sent Connor Zadzik to Seattle for Grant Anderson. Zadzik is in the minors with the St. Paul Saints. Grant Anderson had an historic debut. Did not pitch very well the other night. In 2020... 4 days after they agreed to terms with Chris Young, they trade Lance Lynn to Chicago for Dane Dunning. My assumption is that in 4 days, he didn't get to the job and all of a sudden trade Lance Lynn.
Have the total power and control. Yeah. And we loved Lance Lynn here.
And we did.
I mean, not his personality, but his performance.
And to be fair, I killed them for not trading him at the deadline. They should have traded him at the deadline so a team could get 2 years out of him instead of just one. And
right, like they should have done with Martin Perez last year.
And Lance Lynn, but well, I don't know now the importance of having starting pitching with DeGrom out. You may be desperately reliant on Martin Perez. Yeah. Someone had said Lance Lynn could be a Ranger possibility as well. He's got a 6.72 earned run average right now. Not good.
No, not good. Now, 2 days after that trade, so now we're up to December 10th, they traded Heriberto Hernandez, Oslevis Busabe, and Alex Avalos to Tampa for Nathaniel Lowe.
Mm.
Now, how are those former Ranger farmhands doing? Hernandez is the Rays' 17th best prospect, which is actually pretty good considering the Rays. He's in AA. Busabe is the Rays' 7th best prospect. He's in AAA. And Avalos has had a decent trajectory. That's kind of subsided a little bit. 2021, February of 21 rolls around. January, February. They trade Elvis to Oakland. Who do they get in that deal? Jonah Heim.
Dude. So far, John Daniels deserves credit for Adolis Garcia, Dane Dunning, Nate Lowe, Jonah Heim, and we'll see about Grant Anderson.
Yeah. Now, that deal was made three months after Young arrived, so it's possible his hands are dirty in this one, you know, but I assume in the first two, when it was 4 days and 6 days after he got here, he didn't have a major role.
He went right to work.
Went right to work. Later that year, at the deadline, they send Joey Gallo, to the Yankees. In return, they get Josh Smith, Ezekiel Duran, Glenn Otto, and they also got one other part of that deal. Smith and Duran have had, you know, they've massively contributed this year. This is one of the better trade returns you're going to see. Gallo did absolutely nothing in New York. Threw a little bit better in Minnesota, but not much. But it's also what they didn't do. They didn't go all in for Anthony Rendon. They tried.
Yep.
Was it a fake offer? Was it 6 for $180 or something? It was a fake offer, and he winds up getting more, whatever the rumor was. They wanted to make it appear like they were going to go sign him, but he was going to take a hometown discount. Never did. They just didn't match. They also went after Carlos Rodon this year, and he wanted to come here. We know for a fact Carlos wanted to come here. Who did they choose over him? Who did they give the money to instead of him?
DeGrom.
Eovaldi.
Oh, Eovaldi.
Eovaldi. So, and Nathan's a Cy Young candidate. Rodon, how many innings has he pitched this year?
Zero.
Zero. He's had a back issue. Now, he's throwing bullpens. He threw a simulated game the other day. They're excited about him in New York, whatever. You know, he was also in charge when they signed Seager and Simeon. You know, he was the president of baseball operations. He's going to get none of this credit. Chris Young's going to win Executive of the Year this year, most likely. And he may have put zero of this team together except for Eovaldi and DeGrom. And, you know, because John Gray was also acquired under JD, correct?
Yeah, I do think that by 21, we can probably start assuming that he was involved in those moves.
Oh, he was definitely
so
involved.
So Seager, yes. Simeon, the decision not to go get Story.
Yes.
Picking Seager over Story turned out to be a good move. I do think that he was probably heavily involved in those, but definitely some of those value trades at the beginning of, like, the end of 2019 into the beginning of 2020. So, Heim, getting Adolis, things like that. That's definitely John Daniels' contribution.
Yeah, it definitely is JD contributing to this one. But, you know, he's going to win Executive of the Year. He did, you know, he made the move for Bochy. Mm-hmm. He decided to move on from Woody and bring Bochy in. So we'll see where this thing goes. He's going to wind up winning Executive of the Year. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but we will never give JD credit for this.
No.
Just like Bob, you know, Brian Cashman gets all the credit for the Yankees dynasty in the 90s, and he didn't put any of it together. Gene Michael did. He gets none of the credit. You know, Jimmy gets all the credit. Jerry gets none of it.
Yep.
You know, even though Jerry's the boss. It's the way it works in sports.
I can't remember. It may have been you. It may have been Hagee. I can't remember who
was
mentioned.
Was it a good point?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was me.
It was you. I can't remember who mentioned this, and I think it was off the air the other day, where it's like, how wild is it that Chris Young will probably win Executive of the Year?
Yeah, that was Hagee.
Having made the worst contract signing of the offseason, arguably.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
How often does that happen where the guy who made the offseason acquisition that is probably the worst is going to end up winning Executive of the Year?
That's fair. But, you know, it's at the end of the day.
What would Bassick say to this list, by the way? He'd stutter and stammer, and he'd start getting worked up and say how John Daniels doesn't deserve it. And also the way that they've built, and I'm not insulting Mike, I'm trolling Mike, and maybe insulting him a little. He said, and he brought, you know, history and data behind his point. You have to draft and develop. You have to draft and develop. Have the Rangers done it? Seager, Simeon, Eovaldi, and these trades, right? Adolis and Nate Lowe and Jonah Heim and Dane Dunning. Now, maybe they developed Dane Dunning or Jonah Heim. I don't know how much, you know, what effect their coaching has had on them behind the scenes. The point is, those guys, Duran, they did not come up in the Rangers system. So it's been these minor trades, Seager and Simeon,
yeah,
along with Bochy. So they haven't done it the way you're supposed to with drafting and developing.
Right. Now, look, there's a lot of examples of teams that, and listen, this I think something to be said, shows something should be said of knowing who you are and what you're able to do. I think deep down they know they can't develop players. We got a long track record of not being able to develop players.
Young is clicking finally.
Josh Young, yes.
Josh Young is finally clicking.
Now, look, he was a very highly regarded prospect. When you pick eighth, you should get a good player. You should get a very good player.
Hasn't always worked out.
Hasn't
for them
always
picking that
worked
high.
Out that way. But you should get a very good player. You know, they hit on Teixeira and they picked him in the top 10. You know, that was tremendous. But they have not done a great job of drafting. That's still their problem. And that still is probably what's going to keep them from reaching their ultimate goal, if it does, is that they're so reliant on making trades to get players so other teams have developed instead of developing their own. They can't develop Jack Leiter. Can't.
Bleacher Report had an article actually a couple weeks ago about stacking the teams in terms of the MLB organizations and how good they are at developing pitching. And the Rangers came in at the bottom five as one of the worst organizations in sports at developing pitching. And that's one of the things that I think concerned everybody about. Like, when you take a guy like Kumar Rocker, and I understand a lot of it was about getting Brock Porter later on in the draft in the fourth round with the extra slot money or whatever else. But that's the thing, that it's like, why are you taking a dicey pitching prospect when you haven't shown the ability to develop them? That's why they needed to hit on these sorts of trades and things like that. They've needed to build with veteran acquisitions. And they've always, even when they've struggled, they've always done that well. Mike Minor, Lance Lynn, guys like that, they've always done a good job having them rebound.
And I think, you know, NFL teams, right, a lot of times they'll be able to default to what they're good at. Cowboys are very good at drafting offensive line. They can target, spot, identify a really good offensive line. They do a really good job of drafting offensive line. Some teams do a really good job of acquiring bullpen. So stick with what you're good at. The Rangers for years did a really good job in the international market. Really good job. Continue doing that. You know, if you can't draft and develop, and they really have shown that for the most part, they haven't been able to, do what you're good at. Identify old starting pitching, rebound them, flip them. The problem is that sometimes you get caught up like, well, can we make a run? No, stay the course. You know, stay the course. You got to be able to recognize. The New York Giants needed to recognize last year they overachieved. Okay?
I don't remember us disagreeing in the moment when they went all in. When they pushed the chips to the middle of the table, we supported it.
In 2016, you mean?
2015? They did it a couple times.
Yeah, I was fine with that back then.
And now we're going to have that conversation again here now. If they go all in for an ace replacement, I'm going to support it right now, depending on who the ace is.
Yes, that's what it is. Right. Depends on who it is. Go get Beltran and Lucroy, great. If it's a Matt Garza, Ryan Dempster type of trade, like David Murphy was talking about yesterday, not so much.
Yeah, like, look, do you – hometown people, fans, are the last to admit someone is overachieving. We told the Giants they were overachieving. Giant fans did not want to hear that, did they?
No.
They did not believe they were overachieving.
Minnesota.
They didn't want to hear that. You know, somebody outside DFW might say, hey, the Rangers are overachieving, stay the course. We're not going to say that because we don't want to hear that.
Well, I believe it this time. I thought that they overachieved in Banny's two division titles.
They absolutely did.
Those teams weren't that good. We said that at the time. We try to keep it real, but that's how the Rangers got here. How much credit are y'all willing to give John Daniels on the truckwreck.com text line as they take on the Rays? Where's John Daniels right now?
Southlake? No, he's with the Rays.
What a perfect segment. Yeah, there you go. Headlines at 7, our final Rangers ticket giveaway, and a Friday edition of High Low at 7:20 right here on DFW Sports Station. But RJ has, I mean, it's just the hour of RJ.
Oh, hell
it's
yeah.
The RJ and Choppy show, as he has some disrespect towards Texas, A&M, and Oklahoma. It's a Friday edition. Crack a beer early with the college football kegger next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to
to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Luna! You're not going to dance like Chop was?
Head nod.
Okay.
Just do one shoulder.
Too cool.
Did you dance at your brother's wedding?
No.
Well, then shut up.
Kristen still continues to scream at me because she insists that you said once we got married that you would dance with me. And I was like, I did not. I literally would have never said that.
I saw her dancing.
Oh, yeah, she was.
I know Clarence Hill did, too.
She was cutting it up. Did you see Clarence knock over the mic stand yesterday?
No.
During Dan Quinn's thing? He, like, knocks it over or something. Todd's like, Clarence, stop hitting it, Todd Archer. And Clarence goes, I didn't touch it. And Dan Quinn just goes, let's fight right now. Let's see what happens. Y'all do it.
Do you think it'd be fun to have Clarence in studio?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Clarence is a lot of fun. Clarence is cool. I did walk up to him last week at practice after he wrote that Ross Tucker article. I was like, where's your cape? He's like, huh? I was like, where's the big MM on your chest? Your Mike McCarthy's your cape and form. He's like, that was a ridiculous list. You know I'm no fan. What am I supposed to do?
Yes, and he's a fellow Longhorn, which we're going to get to in a second with a Friday edition of RJ's College Football Kegger. We got headlines, our final Rangers ticket giveaway, along with a Jacob deGrom bobblehead and high-low at 7:20. And Babe Laufenberg wants to pop on the show at 8 o'clock. My God.
Oh, my gosh. He's awake. Tea time. He's got to have a tea time.
He wanted to cancel below the belt. He didn't put Bobby on this text for a reason yesterday after the show. He's like, hey, can I come on at 8:40? I was like, even better for you. How about 9:20? You can sleep in longer. He goes, no, I'll come on at 8. I'll come on at 8 a.m. And I was like, oh, my Lord.
So it's a new era.
It is a new era. So Laufenberg at 8 o'clock. We haven't had a chance to talk about this. It's been trending multiple times throughout the entire week. LeSean McCoy is the early candidate, according to reports, to replace Shannon Sharpe as Skip Bayless's new co-host on FS1.
Dog is ass.
I told you. I mentioned LeSean McCoy and you went, no way. I told you this is who they were going to put up there.
Why do you think they would put him up there?
Because he is a,
this is a disaster waiting to happen.
He's a Fox person already who is a pot stirrer. So it's just like, oh, yeah, somebody else who will stir things up and create headlines.
Can he talk the other sports? Is he as sharp as Shannon? No pun intended. Is he as quick with it? Like, they might be throwing a sacrificial lamb up there. And I think Shady might also get hype with Skip. Like, LeSean McCoy might also be like, yo, man, I'm Shady McCoy. I'm LeSean McCoy. You're not going to talk to me like that. It feels like he'd have a little bit of an attitude to throw back there, but I think it'd be a disaster. I think Skip would chew him up and spit him out, which is what that insecure twerp probably wants anyway. He wants someone that he can absolutely own, you'd think, since apparently he doesn't like to be challenged. But Shady McCoy, I think that'd be a mess.
Oh, that'd be a mess. It might be entertaining, though, because of the fighting. Shady ain't going to back down. Now, not that Shannon did either, but, you know, Skip was here. Here's the problem. Skip went after the career of Shannon Sharpe, and he tried to belittle the career of Shannon Sharpe.
Yeah.
And Shannon's like, dude, what do you want from me? I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What do you want from me? Like, come on.
I think Shady would have less patience than Shannon.
I agree. Shady actually might kill him.
Which, I don't know what to say.
I mean, he'd be good TV.
Would be good.
I mean, didn't we all say sort of the same things about, like, Shannon, though? Like, oh, Shannon's got an edge. Shannon's not going to put up with this. And then Shannon put up with it for forever.
No,
and
I don't
Shannon
remember saying
faked the
anything
fights.
About it. No one said anything about what the fit was. Nobody cared. But now we know, though, we know Shannon and LeSean's personalities. I wonder what Hellman would say behind the scenes. I wonder what Hellman would say. Who else is a candidate that you would prefer or would be better?
You know who social media loves?
Acho.
Who I keep... I've not seen Acho, but the name I keep seeing thrown out there, your old Kansas City buddy.
Nick Wright.
Nick Wright is the name that gets thrown around a lot.
Nick would, no.
They would have wars. Wars. Because Nick is very intelligent. He is sharp.
But, you know, like,
I don't think LeSean could keep up with Skip, even though Skip is getting up there in age. I don't think LeSean could keep up there in arguments about all the different sports.
What's the fit? What type of person do you think they need? And then I'll tell you who it should be.
I don't know.
Like, do they need somebody who's going to fight with him, or do they need somebody who's just going to sit there and argue with him sharp about sports? Or, I don't know, Jay Williams is about out of contract. Do they want to stick Jay Williams across from him?
Ooh.
And Jay Williams will talk about anything.
Yeah. Jay Williams would be a better candidate. All right, Choppy's been sending story after story, scheduling after scheduling, odd after odd. So we need to break open. We're going to steal G-Bag with what you're drinking, what you're thinking. We're going to do the college football kegger right now.
College football!
Woo! Oh, man, you want college odds for winning the championship? You want A&M getting a promise from the SEC? You want Texas already trying to twist their power structure of the conference?
Let's go Texas and A&M. And the bickering that's already started.
All right, so Texas wants, they want to change the SEC schedule. All right, they want 9 games. The SEC currently plays an 8-game conference schedule, which allows them to play multiple Power 5 teams outside the conference, also allows them to schedule Sun Belt Saturday, which has been affectionately referred to when every SEC's team in November schedules West Carolina, North Alabama, South Alabama, UAB, Louisiana, Monroe, whatever. Well, Texas wants to come in, and they are trying to say, no, we want a 9-game conference schedule. Chris Del Conte, the AD over there, favors the 9-game. They're trying to push for it. Why are they trying to push for it?
I don't know.
In honor of Romo.
Who are the rivals? So the SEC is going to get rid of divisions. They're getting rid of East and West. Okay? They're going to do an 8-game rotating schedule. You're going to have one common opponent that you play every single year.
Mm.
So it could be Alabama-Auburn, LSU-A&M.
Tennessee-Florida.
Tennessee-Florida. It'll probably be Florida-Georgia, though. Who knows? It could be Tennessee-Georgia. It could be whatever. So Texas.
Vanderbilt, my godson, Vanderbilt and somebody.
Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Arkansas, A&M. Who knows, right? Whatever. Texas is like, well, hang on. We want OU Texas every year and A&M out Texas every year. In an 8-game conference schedule, you can't get that. You got to pick one. So do you pick OU Texas or do you pick Texas, Texas, A&M? If you do it on a rotating basis, you're going to play A&M every 3 to 4 years. You'll go to A&M every 6 to 8 years? Like, do you want that? So they're trying to strong arm the conference into going to 9 games. The thing is, they've got some support. Kirby Smart doesn't care. Nick Saban's favored 9 games, but then he also favors 8 games. We talked out of both sides of his mouth. We don't know which one's going to happen. A&M, though, claims that they have been assured of one thing. When now, they did not want Texas to enter the conference. They were against it. And Sankey, the commissioner, was like, I appreciate your input. We'll take it under advisement. And by that, I mean, we don't care. So the AD for A&M was like, Ross Bjork, he's like, okay, we have one demand. Please, please, please adhere to this demand. And they're going to, it looks like. A&M is going to get the first home game between the two schools. So when they renew this rivalry, which hasn't been played in a decade, it's going to be in College Station, even though the last game between these two took place in College Station. So, boy, God. What a hard crack negotiator, man. Oh, man, you could have freed the hostages from Iran in 1980 with that kind of negotiating.
Freed the grinder.
Wow. Yeah. My goodness. So
we'll whoop them at Kyle Field. That's fine.
Yeah, so SEC has given them a supposed prize, a supposed consolation prize for allowing, air quotes, allowing Texas into the conference.
Are they going to let Chris Del Conte, like, start making strong-arm demands if he's going to bail for USC anyway?
Oh, is that the rumor?
That's the rumor. He says no, but that's the hot rumor.
Oh, man. I think Texas is the better job. More money. You have more money to work with there. I mean,
you got USC. The better coach in California.
Yes, you do. You're the better coach in California. But let's see. Maybe it's Bronny time. All right. Odds to win the national championship. Did Texas and OU and Texas A&M get a little disrespected? By the way, the favorites here, it is, quite frankly, well, will Alabama advance to the College Football Playoff? They are almost even money. It's plus 145. Georgia is minus 230 to advance to the College Football Playoff. They have a 70% chance of making the postseason. They're the only ones who are favored to make the playoffs. How about Oklahoma? They are 93% chance of not making the postseason.
Oh.
93. Texas A&M, 96% chance of not making the playoff.
Ooh. Bye, Jimbo.
Texas.
See where TCU is after all that trash talk towards the Horned Frogs.
Texas, 80% chance of not making the playoffs. Their odds are minus 400, no, plus 300, yes. So they're, you know, they got better odds than A&M, obviously. They're right around the USC. USC's got a 76% chance of not making the postseason. My Vols, a 94% chance of not making the postseason. So
who has the odds then?
There's only one team favored to make it. That's Georgia. Alabama has a 63% chance of not making the postseason.
Yeah.
Clemson an 80%, LSU 85, Florida State 80.
You know who's probably a good value bet without even looking at the odds though? Texas and Ohio State would always be good bets, I bet, because the committee loves both of them. The committee always will push them higher than they probably deserve. Mm-hmm. And so if they're anywhere in contention, Texas will get in. Ohio State will get in.
The second, number two, behind Georgia, Ohio State is 50-50. They are right at 50-50. Michigan's at 60%, so they got good odds too.
Did you say that the Longhorns, like a quarterback decided on Texas after what's going on there? Yeah. What's going on, Bobby?
Yeah, a four-star quarterback has decided that he is going to commit to the University of Texas. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. His name is KJ Lacy. And this is for next year's class. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
Do they not have Arch Manning?
Malik Murphy committed. He's still hanging around, and that was with them knowing they had Quinn Ewers and knowing that they were going to get Arch, and Murphy was like the 20th overall prospect in the country. So, I mean, this is what happens. You stack up a lot of quarterbacks, and inevitably they'll transfer. So he'll be there for a year, and then he'll transfer. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to get Texas NIL money or something.
He's from Alabama. He chose Texas over Alabama, Auburn, Oklahoma, Oregon, TCU, Tennessee, and Texas A&M. So he's got another year. So he's not going to commit until next fall, so 2024. So he'll have, a year or two to sit under Arch?
He saw Arch at the spring game. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll go to Texas.
So it doesn't make sense on the surface, but when you think about it, like, hey, by the time he gets there, he'll have a year or two to sit under Arch, then he'll be good.
It's not totally unusual, though, some of these big programs to have 3-4-star quarterbacks on the roster at a time.
Ohio State, remember they had Burrow and Fields?
And Haskins.
Mm-hmm. Florida had Tebow and Cam Newton. It's not crazy.
College football kegger on a Friday. The Stanley Cup final will not be a sweep. NBA finals are going to resume. We'll get you set for the Rangers and the Rays. And the wide receiver star from Cowboys minicamp that will make Bobby Belt look good. Headlines. Then our final Rangers ticket giveaway and high-low. 720 Expressway next on The Fan. But
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.